Welcome to AM Best Audio.
AM Best Associate Director Dawn Walker was recently a guest on the Insurance Nerds podcast. Here now is that podcast featuring Dawn Walker.
Today, we'll be talking with Dawn Walker of AM Best. Dawn, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Happy Monday to you.
Same to you. Summer is in full effect, so I'm happy. I love summer.
Yeah, we are in summer now. So summer and delegated authority go together. So let's see how they're correlated. Today, we're going to be talking about delegated authority. We're going to be talking about AM Best. And so, Dawn, why don't we start all of these by allowing our guests to do an elevator pitch. Who is Dawn Walker and what is it that you do?
So I've specialized in risk management and insurance for over 15 years now, and in a various capacities, from business development, claims, and risk management of ultra high net worth portfolios. I earned my MBA in enterprise risk management from St. John's University, and I earned a BA in law from University of Arizona. So I've had the pleasure of working in several sectors of the industry, and I think they've all given me a unique perspective and a set of skills for this role here at AM Best, where I focus on building out stakeholder relationships within the delegated underwriting authority enterprise sector. My experience with AM Best as a senior financial analyst when I first started with the company has given me keen insights into the DUAE sector. It's a complex but dynamic industry, but I've quickly become passionate about the growth and the trends, you know, in the sector. And I really just look forward to what's to come.
Yeah. So for the audience members that may not understand delegated authority, could you provide like a bit of an example? Like, what are these companies? What is it that they're doing? What separates them out to be classified under delegated authority?
Right. So the term DUAE, or Delegated Underwriting Authority Enterprises, is really a blanket term, a third-party entity that is contracted by a insurer or a reinsurer to perform underwriting, claims handling, or other administrative functions for their carrier partners. They are all included in that DUAE blanket term. So this could include managing general underwriters, managing general agents, cover holders, program underwriters, program administrators, any direct authorizations. You also have underwriting agencies and appointed representatives. So as you can see, it really does encompass a lot of different corporate structures, you will.
But at the heart of it, it is a third party entity that has some contractual ability to bind coverage.
Correct.
Without having to follow a set of guidelines to bind coverage without having to go and get permission for every single bind. They have delegated authority.
Exactly. Pretty simple when you put it like that, right? Yeah.
Okay. So I'm guessing that most of my audience is highly familiar with AM Best as well, but let's not assume that. AM Best is a heavily branded organization. They're older than dirt. Now, they've been around for quite some time. They are essentially synonymous with the growth of the insurance industry. Can you give just a little bit of background around AM Best, just so the audience has a flavor for what is it that they're predominantly known for?
So AM Best is celebrating 125 years this year. So you're right. It's an old company. It's been around a long time. And one thing that I will say about AM Best is that ever since day one, it's been a goal of AM Best to bring transparency into the market. So that's the overall goal. What AM Best is known for traditionally are credit ratings. So, you know, they look at the debt of insurance companies. They use a building block approach to assess the ability of these carriers to be able to live up to the ultimate promise of paying claims through the credit rating side. And so now we have the performance assessments. You can say it's new because it's only been 2 years, when you compare 125 years of credit ratings.
So to translate, your role is to bring a very similar or structured scoring or performance scoring metric to this delegated authority. Cool. Am I
Right.
right?
Yes, you are right. So let me break it down just a little bit more. So, the overall goal again, bring transparency into the market. And our analysis of the delegated underwriting sector, it revealed a need in the market when, when we started to note the unique characteristics and substantial growth of the sector. And in order to support that growth, AM Best introduced its methodology for performance assessments for delegated underwriting authorities. Now, the methodology, when you look, if you look at the methodology for the credit rating side and the methodology for the performance assessment side, they are very different. There are some similarities. We can talk about that in a few minutes, just about the process. There are some similarities, but they differ very distinctly. So it's sometimes you hear people call the performance assessment a rating, and I always say, well, actually, it's a performance assessment because I don't want there to be any misunderstandings about what we're doing in the DUAE space because it's very different from what is happening on the credit rating. So just getting back to that. So when you look at the benefits for, DUAEs that want to participate in this process, you're going to see benefits for both the individual DUAE and you're going to see benefits to the market as well. A performance assessment is a forward-looking, independent, objective non-credit opinion on a DUAE's ability to service on behalf of their insurance partners. That's the gist of what the PA is. And so it's going to offer a global benchmark, right? You're going to look at various lines of business, you're going to look at different sizes of DUAEs, and it really boils down to it becoming a tool that provides DUAEs the opportunity to differentiate themselves in the market. So the PA is going to give you a valuable insight into the market. So, when we're going to identify gaps, we're going to look at the process, how highlight these opportunities for improvement in the sector. And it's our view that the performance assessment supports the underwriting discipline of the segment.
Yeah. So, if for anyone that's familiar with AM Best on the credit or the pure insurance side, they have letter grades. So like A plus. I've walked into quite a few offices of insurance companies where they have the AM Best A plus rating, right? It's symbolic. Like it means that you are of the highest quality, right? And so it's something that these firms find they derive immense pride, right, from being able to showcase that. What would it look like on the DUAE side? Is it also a letter grade?
So it's actually numbers. So you have PA1 through PA5, PA1 being the strongest, PA5 being the weakest. And really the score ranges work to, as a distinction between the assessment symbol and the assessment category. So they're both symbols and categories. So in practice, you can have two DUAEs that score, let's say, at a PA2. And that is a score range that would go from 27 to 33. So they could very well have different scores, but they're still at the same category as a PA2. So those descriptors of a descriptor of, let's say, an exceptional PA1, you're going to see them achieving a higher overall score of 40 points maximum. And this is going to indicate things, right? It's going to indicate if they're highly effective in their ability to perform services on behalf of their partners. A PA1 is likely going to have their interests aligned with their capacity partners. They're going to likely have diverse or a niche business profile, and that's going to be supported by strong financial conditions. They're going to have excellent access to business as well. They're going to have a diverse geographical reach. They're going to provide a high level of service and have strong business relationships and strong internal governance and internal controls as well.
Yeah,
So that out. Go ahead.
so it's a numerical score. There are multiple categories.
Yes.
What are some of the categories? You mentioned PA. Is PA Program Administration?
So that's performance assessment. PA
Performance
stands.
assessment. Okay, got
Yeah.
it.
And so again, you go from, you go from the PA1 to PA5, but you can have strong, you can have, so it, I'm sorry. So let me just go back. We talked about the assessment symbols, PA1 through PA5. The assessment categories for PA1 is exceptional, which I kind of went through, you know, what that PA would indicate for someone who is achieving a PA1. So then you also have excellent, strong, fair, and weak. And though, and you can see how those correlate to each PA assessment. And then you see also can see the assessment ranges as well. So you would score anything 12 and below for weak, between 13 and 19 for fair, 20 to 26 for strong, and so on and so forth.
I'm absorbing it. So,
yeah.
So there's it, or are there categories outside performance assessment? Or is everything kind of blended in there? Like, do you look at technology? Do you look at distribution? Do you look at claims experience? Do you have multiple categories, or does it all fall under the PA umbrella?
So there are definite categories. So we're going to look at five key sections. So we're going to look at underwriting. We're going to look at organizational structure. We look at financial conditions. We look at depth and breadth of relationships. And so within those categories, we're going to there are also going to be other subcategories that we're going to assess as a part of the assessment process, and the analyst is going to run that. So I'll just go up here. So we'll talk through this. So one, the analyst is going to want to gather information. And so the information that they're going to collect are going to be looking at, if we just look at underwriting, we're going to say, well, what are your underwriting guidelines? What does that look like? Technology is a very big piece, because if you look at some of the trends in the industry, technology and talent are some of the largest drivers of the industry for growth on the growth perspective. So we're going to gather all of that information in each of those categories, from underwriting capabilities, governance and internal controls, and so on and so forth. And then once the analyst has all of the information that they need, they're going to make their assessments, but they're also going to want to engage with the leadership from the DUAE. So that looks like a formal management meeting where you have your entire leadership team come with the AM Best analytical team, and they'll talk through the process. They'll ask their key questions and gather a complete picture that they can take to assessment committee, which is how the scoring is derived. So it's a very simple vote in the committee interaction. The analyst is going to present their entire analysis to this committee, and they will deliberate. And once they do that, the analyst is going to create their report. They'll share that with the DUAE, and then the DUAE can make a decision on how they want to disseminate the report. It can be a public dissemination, or it can be private. They have the choice to do that. And then once the report is disseminated, the performance assessment process is very cyclical, and it will be revisited on an annual basis.
Yeah. So this timeline right here, Don, how long does it take from getting started to the dissemination of results and monitoring activities? Are we talking over a year? Are we talking months? What's that look like?
So the assessment process really does depend on the size and complexity of the DUA's organization and their mm-hmm. business. But what we're generally seeing is between 8 to 12 weeks.
Oh, okay. So 3 months or less to sort of arrive at all of this. Can you, I'd like to, you know, expand on if you are in the business of delegated authority, why someone in that area would want to do something like this? You know, what are some of the benefits? I'm assuming that it's similar to what I just described. You walk into an insurance carrier and they have an A+. It's like this bragging rights. Like, hey, we were rated really high. I'm sure there's more to it than that, because they, you know, you can get feedback on your expertise, your performance. What do I need to What do we, I'm assuming AM Best provides information back on here are things you need to improve on, or this is what you could do to get the score higher. But why would delegated authority want to go through something like this?
Right. So taking part in the performance assessment process and allowing such an in-depth quantitative and qualitative analysis of one's operation really shows a willingness to be transparent to your carrier partners and to the market. The benefits really extend beyond credibility, though. It shows that the DUAE is willing to signal to the market and highlight their capabilities. So it's an innovative way to attract carriers, because at the end of the day, capacity is the lifeblood of a DUAE's operations. You need that capacity and you need to be able to scale. So it's an innovative way to attract capacity from carriers or other partners, investors who may not be aware of your strengths or of your unique capabilities. It's an ability to showcase your proven track record. You know, it's one thing to say we have a proven track record, and it's another to actually show your proven track record. And so it becomes a very powerful tool. Again, to scale business, to strengthen your balance sheet, to have some skin in the game, to take some risk, which we're seeing. So that's one of the trends that we're seeing as well. But it also, like you said, you kind of alluded to that, it's just like improving in areas of your business framework that need that work. So we've already begun to receive feedback from some of our assessed DUAEs that say, yes, we have been able to attract new capacity, and actually we have been sought out. They're coming to us instead of us having to take that down. We're seeing new, they're saying they're getting new partnerships. They're seeing audit light reviews, you know, from audit companies that, you know, or even the carrier saying, okay, you have this performance assessment, we looked at it, and so they're receiving audit light reviews, terms and conditions as well, you know, being able to successfully negotiate what they need and within their terms and conditions. So that's some of the feedback that we're getting from our assessed DUAEs. It builds credibility. It definitely, you know, to get a performance assessment from AM Best, you know, it helps you build that trust, that respect, and with that comes more opportunities.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Yeah, I'm imagining that the scoring is when I speak to startups and, you know, the topic of an MGA comes up, I always tell them, like, you're going to need to budget 2 years and like $2 million before you sell your first policy. You might be able to move faster than that, but that's actually worked out to be a pretty good rule of thumb, 2 years and $2 million. So something like this, I think, would provide credibility. It's a impartial third party that's providing a scoring. My guess is that this would probably shorten the life cycle, but it's really interesting to hear that some of the firms that are participating in this are being sought out, right? Like, that's probably another benefit as well, is that these firms don't have to actively be pursuing going out there and doing those sorts of things. If I were on the other side, if I were a carrier working with delegated authority, I'd almost want all of them to go through this process. How are you finding the carriers and their willingness to kind of influence or push some of their stakeholders that are doing delegated authority to, you know, to route through something like this? Because they are doing auditing, but you're doing it, I think, at an interesting level, but also you get to see a cross section of activity.
Right. And I think that when it comes to carriers, the feedback that I've gotten, because I have directly, you know, asked the question, have you seen it? Have you read it? Do you know what's in the report? Do you find it useful? Is this information that you would use? And I get responses in the affirmative in regards to carriers making this a mandatory thing is still it's still very much voluntary. And from our perspective, we would never tell anyone you should tell them. You absolutely have to. No, but if it supports that function of auditing, if it supports the function of validation, verification, or any of those things that, you know, that can support the relationship, then, you know, I can see carriers starting to ask for it. I can see them wanting to see it in addition to what they're doing, because it's not to say that it's going to completely replace everything that a carrier is going to do, the due diligence that a carrier is going to do, but it's definitely a great tool in the due diligence process.
Yeah. Especially since you can compare entities to the others as well. You get to see a community of them. So you get to understand and see like what best practices are. You know, it's probably something that's going to evolve too, right? Like as time occurs, there'll be more value that AM Best can bring to the table as they start to see, hey, you know, we're correlating this particular metric with success, right? And so this is something that we're aggressively working on. So similar to how you rate insurance companies, I'm assuming that's going to evolve over time as you learn more, right?
Yeah, when you think about on the credit rating side, like adding innovation to the building block approach in a similar way, having this become a part of your due diligence, and also how it, like you said, like it will evolve into much more. I can see that happening. I really can. And it's my hope, because it's what's best for the market. It feeds into the transparency. It feeds into, you know, just kind of like showing exactly what's happening in the market and being able to kind of trace back to the very beginning.
Yeah. In terms of the actual assessment, right? What would you, for firms that are thinking about separating themselves, differentiating themselves, right? What are some things they have to do to get prepared for the assessment? What, you know, documentation and things like that. But how should they sort of rally around, hey, we're going through this assessment, this is how we're going to prepare for it. What are some of the steps they're going to need to prepare?
Oh, absolutely. I think that the first step is reach out. You know, ask the question, because, you know, a lot there can be a lot of misunderstanding or just things that you don't know. Reach out and start the conversation. It doesn't bind you to the process to call and say, can we have an introductory meeting? There's a lot of information that we can provide to assist DUAEs in this. And we try to make it as convenient as possible. You know, we respect material, non-public information. We understand the value in trade secrets and in trying to protect their advantage in the market, you know, keeping their material and their processes private. So we respect that, and we still look for ways to make it very convenient for them to hand over their information and allow our analysts to start the review process. But step one, reach out, ask the questions. We have a checklist, so it's going to be very plain and simple what it is that we're asking for. We're going to want to see the numbers. We're going to want to see the programs. We want to see the premiums. We want to see loss ratio. So gathering, having all of that information of how your books of business are performing, how your programs are performing. We're going to want to see information on your leadership. Who's steering the ship? How does that work? We basically outline everything in the five key assessment factors that we want to look for. So we try to be as succinct as possible in the information that we ask for. So I think for some people it seems daunting, but
yeah,
having been on that side of the house where I actually perform the performance assessment, it's really not that bad. A lot of the information they already have, you know, DUAEs, they're operating at such a high level. They're intelligent, you know, and they know their business. They have their thumb on the pulse of the market themselves too, like understanding like who our competitors are, what are we doing, and what information do we have? Are we leveraging our data? They have this information already. You can just, you know, you just have to bring it in a comprehensive way to us so we can make that assessment. It's really not that cumbersome, if you ask me.
Yeah. And I think a critical part of this is that the results are not necessarily going to be made public, guys, because I recall when AM Best first proposed this, that there was a little bit of an uproar. Hey, we don't want you combing through our books, like,
right.
but the benefit on the other side is, one, if you are good, this will differentiate you. You'll have something to show that others know that you're exceptional, right? And what it is you're doing. But even if you're not exceptional, something like this will help you figure out what it would actually take to become exceptional.
Yes. It's a very well-rounded learning experience because you work in the business and you work on the business. And this activity can help you do both.
Okay. So I'd like to end with like some hypotheticals around for program administrators, MGAs, anyone that's listening to this now. We'll give them some nuggets of value around from your experience, right? Having gone through this and firms that have gone through this rating process and are at the best level or exceptional as well. What are some of their characteristics? Like, what makes a firm exceptional in what it is that they're doing? I'm assuming, yes, good customer service, but what does that mean? What does a good loss ratio mean? How do you give us a little clarity around that so we could get a glimpse?
Right. So I would say what that looks like is a DUAE that understands how to take a well-balanced risk. You know, you can tell when they understand the risk that they're taking in the market that they're playing in. So it's going to be very well balanced. When you talk about good loss ratios, a good loss ratio is, are you making money? You know, and how long have you been making money? Another thing to look, what we would look at, and that kind of points to a successful DUAE is your financial structure. You have stable sources of income. They're all well balanced and it's been consistent over a 3 to 5 year period.
Mm-hmm.
You have a great mix of diversity in your geographical location. So you understand the risk from that perspective as well. And want to diversify from several ways to diversify. You're diversified financially. You're diversified in your geographical location. You're diversified in your capacity partners as well.
So essentially it's kind of common sense here. If you've been in the business for a while and you've been successful for a while, that's going to be weighted to your benefit. Like, you've already proven and validated some of your own results because you're in the game, you've been in the game, and you've played the game pretty well. What about startups, Dawn, that might be very hesitant after I just said that, said, well, geez, I don't want to be evaluated at all because we have no history. And of course, we're going to get scored poorly because of that. What would you say to them in terms of encouraging them that this is still a value to you?
It's still a value to them because you're not necessarily going to be scored poorly just because you're a startup. I think that startups would benefit from going through this process because mm-hmm. you're starting early on and you're kind of figuring out your framework and what works best for you. And you have a really good idea of the parameters that you need to operate in. So just because you're a startup or just because you've been operating for, maybe 2 years, only 3 years, or only been in business for 3 years does not mean that you were going to score poorly on the performance assessment. You can still score well because the analysis is set up to take into account the size and the complexity of your operations. So this is not just about being a large multinational DUAE, however, multinational operations that you score a PA1. There could be large multinational operations that don't score a PA1. And then there could be smaller ones that can. So it really, really just depends on your unique way of running your operations, your unique way of running your business, and how balanced they are.
Yeah, this was phenomenal. I do remember when it first was pitched a little while back, like there was a little bit of an uproar, but it seems like this is something that's absolutely necessary in the delegated authority space so that, it's been known as like the Wild West, mm-hmm. right? And this kind of gets it a little bit under control. I'm going to put your contact information in the show notes, but are there any conferences where folks that are listening to this that might be in the DUAE realm can potentially, you know, connect with you face to face?
Oh, absolutely. I just came back from FAIA. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was a great opportunity. I had a lot of great conversations. So similar conferences to, you know, to those local state, you know, I say local, but I mean like state conferences, you can always kind of catch me at. But the next conference that I know I'm going to be at is going to be ITC. So I'll be there. And I am more than happy to, you know, provide additional information, to just sit and have a conversation about the process and, you know, how it works at a high level.
Okay. So ITC, was that October?
October 15th through the 17th. Yes.
October 15th, 17th. I will be there as well. So we can connect all face to face and have like a huge party around delegated authority. Just kidding. But we'll see you there. And for anyone that wants to get in touch with Dawn, I will put her contact information in the show notes. But Dawn, thank you so much for shedding light on what I think is a really important topic in the insurance space.
Absolutely. And I just want to also say there, you know, I contribute a lot to thought leadership in this space. We recently had our annual MGA report release, as well as a webinar. All of that information can be found at ambest.com.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.